I remember every semester at uni, at the start of that week one, I was going to read all my readings. I was going to do it every semester in week one. By week four, might not have been that. You might want to spend more time with your children, want to lose weight, quit a habit, start something. I've never been to a gym. I was reading an article, an American article, saying that some gym franchises, they bring out more gym equipment in January for all the new signups that are going to happen. But then in February, they go and pack them all away. And some people are a little poorer for their experience. And so this January, we're looking at a fresh start, how we can change. But this series isn't a self-help series. In one sense, it's an anti-self-help series. As we will see, it is God who does the change. We can toy with the edges of our lives. We can take more responsibility for our actions. We can stop and start certain habits. But in this month, in this series, we're looking at a longer lasting change. And this is something that we clearly need God's help for. So I'm going to pray before we start. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wisdom and love. Thank you for knowing what our needs are and acting on them. Be with us now as we hear more about you and empower us to live a changed life. In your Son's name, Jesus. Amen. So today our topic is a new mind. Would you like a new mind? Our minds affect everything that we do. We're confronted with a whole bunch of choices to make every day, every hour. We're constantly deciding what we do. As Dumbledore said in the Chamber of Secrets, it's not our abilities that show what we truly are. It is our choices. Our choices show who we are. We make loads of them. Sometimes we don't even realize we're making these choices. This is how habits are formed. We switch onto our autopilot, and sometimes we just go with our usual decisions that we always make. We may have a habit of worrying, a habit of procrastination, a habit of sin, and we may not even notice. How do we break these cycles? How do we fix our own minds? Now, there are many answers to this. Some people try meditation. You seek to empty your mind. You got negative thoughts, you feel something you don't want, empty your mind. People try that. Our culture sees education as the silver bullet to almost everything. You want to stop racism? We'll teach Australian values to our children in school. Want to help someone to deal with an addiction? We send them to rehabilitation classes. Want to look after certain minorities? Well, then organizations, they will run training and awareness courses to stop prejudice in their organization. Another tact we try is to read and listen to self-help and motivational speakers. They tell you to identify the slackness or triggers or whatever and remove that from your life. You're to be vigilant. Try hard. When you hit the wall, you've got to punch through it. Be that 1%. Give 110%. Dig deep. Fight back. Now look, some of those truths, some of those are good, right? Clearing your thoughts is not a bad idea, but be careful what you fill your mind with afterwards. And education and self-help, they can be good things, but they're not the full picture. Our minds are complicated. And we cannot just apply some one-dimensional solution to our minds. We need something more. And we also need to recognize how big the problem actually is. We need more than an adjusted mind, one that can be tweaked here and there. We need a mind. We need more than a mind that has a strong focus or determination, or one that is more educated or trainable. We need a renewed mind. And this takes a miracle. From the Bible's viewpoint, there are two types of minds. One that is in darkness, one that is renewed. So today, we're going to look at both these minds and then look at the ultimate goal for our renewed mind. Now, when I say our minds are in darkness, that's not to say we're necessarily dumb or unintelligent. We are, after all, humans or Homo sapiens. You know what that word means in Latin? Wise person. I love that we get to name our own species wise. We call ourselves whatever we want. We decided we'll go with wise. And we are pretty clever, right? I mean, in my house, I have a fireplace that I can turn on with a remote control. I just got a new car. It doesn't have a key. I just have this little box, and it unlocks and starts if this little box is near it. I also have a phone that I can verbally ask it to tell me a joke, and it will. So while we humans are good at solving problems no one really had in the first place, we are also ignorant of the biggest thing in the universe. And this ignorance leads us to fall back into the same human condition all people have fallen into from all history. While we are clever with our science and technology, we are still foolish in how we live our lives. We make wrong and immoral decisions. We cause arguments and splits in relationships. We miss certain clues and tones in conversations that show that we aren't as emotionally intelligent as we thought we were. We do things that we aren't happy with, and we don't want other people knowing about it. We struggle with worry and confidence, and we even make up new creative problems in our minds just to throw us off guard. And on top of all of this, we're also really clever in how we write off our own behavior and justify ourselves. For example, some people still hold to star signs and auras, as if that somehow dictates who they are. Others come up with the excuse of their behavior from where they grew up or what nationality they have. I'm Maltese, so I'm pretty argumentative. Some cling to their Myers-Briggs letters to explain why they do what it is that they do. The Bible is very clear and tells us that the knowledge of God and his power and divine nature is plain to everyone. And yet, we suppress this truth. Instead of giving thanks to God, our thinking becomes futile. While we may label our own species wise, we are actually fools. At the end of Romans 1, the argument concludes, "Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy." This was written 2,000 years ago. And yet, with all our progress with the internet and microwaves and power steering, all the fields of our science and understanding, are we any further away of this description of human nature? The good news is that there is a way to break this way of foolish thinking. There's a real way to short-circuit our minds, to remove boasting and gossip and evil. In our reading, in Ephesians 4, it picks this up. It shows us our darkened mind in our first paragraph, and then it shows us the solution of a renewed mind in the second. As we read it, see if you can work at how we get a renewed mind. Starting from verse 17. Oops, that's the wrong one. We have the bad news. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Their old way of life involved futile thinking. They were ignorant and had a darkened understanding. And then we have this good news. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you see the solution for our ignorance and darkened understanding? We need to learn about Christ. We need the truth of Jesus. When confronted with this truth, we see that we had deceitful desires, but Jesus can change us. We are to put off our old self, our old ways and patterns and behaviors, and instead, we are made new. We are given a new self to put on, one with a new attitude of our mind. We have a new self that is made to be like God, made to be good and perfect. It is God who renews our minds and creates in us something new. When we put off our old self and put on our new self, we sometimes may use the word repentance. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia, which means change of mind. The mind is central to repentance because transformation comes from a renewed mind. Before we had met with Jesus, we may think just like everyone around us, like our neighbors, like the movies or the songs that we listen to. Everyone in the world buries their sin in their subconscious. But when the Holy Spirit awakens us to our need of a Savior, when we go to the cross, our minds and the direction of our life changes. If you are a Christian, there should be a contrast to our lives once we had encountered Jesus. If I was late to this service and I said, "Sorry, I'm late. I got a flat tire. I was on the parkway. While I was changing the tire, a Woolies truck came and knocked me over. Knocked me in the middle of the road. I brushed myself up, continued on. Sorry, I'm a bit late." If I said that, you wouldn't, nor should you, believe me. You know that if someone encounters a 20-ton truck doing 100 kilometers an hour, that person would be fundamentally changed. There would be a marked contrast between who they were before the truck and who they are now after the truck. It would not be a casual event for that person. Jesus likewise makes us new and creates us to be more like God. An encounter with Jesus should fundamentally change who we are because God is at work to change that person. Now, while it is God who renews and creates in us a new mind, that is, once we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, we still have work to do. This change is not totally passive. We do move from death to life, from darkness to light. But once we have become a new creation, we are made to grow and change to be more like Jesus. Now, we don't change to improve our position or our identity or our status before God. That's already been done. All believers, no matter where they are on their Christian walk, are adopted by God. We all have immediate access to our Father. Your personal racial background is fixed. No matter if you have visited your parents' or grandparents' homeland or not. You're an Australian citizen, no matter how much tax you do or don't pay, because your citizenship isn't based on your work and the tax that you pay. Our citizenship is in heaven. It is fixed, but we do change in that we are ever moving from our old way of life to a new. We change in our new way of thinking and behavior as we hear more from our King and obey and love him more. Disciples are, after all, students. And Jesus says disciples are to be taught and to obey all that Jesus has commanded them. So what are we to do with these renewed minds? What happens? What work do we do? We are to set or focus our minds on something different to the world's thinking. We are to be careful in what we believe and what we put into our minds. We are not to get muddled or anxious. The Bible does talk about people having troubled or dull or corrupted or blind minds. Our minds can be confusing. This means we should not believe everything we think. We have blind spots. We can only see things from a limited perspective. So we need to be careful and not believe all that we think. We should also be careful in what we put into our minds. Like the old, I think it was a computer saying, garbage in, garbage out. Philippians 4 has some really good advice about what we should be doing with our minds. First up it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We shouldn't be anxious. I think next week we're going to hear more on this passage, but just quickly, the remedy is to pray. And when we pray, something we may not even understand happens. It says we will have the peace which will guard our minds. The next verse after this passage also goes on to explain and give us more help with our minds. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What do you fill your mind with? What could you be filling your mind with? Some things should be avoided altogether, others in moderation. If you drew a pie chart of your week, how much time is spent watching TV or chatting with friends online or over the phone compared to, say, how much you read the Bible or you're in prayer with God? Do you have the right balance? Puritan John Owen said, we can test ourselves by asking whether our spiritual thoughts are like guests visiting our hotel or like children living at home. There is a temporary stir and bustle when guests arrive, yet within a little while they leave and are forgotten. The hotel is then prepared for other guests. So it is with religious thoughts that are only occasional. But children belong to their house. They are missed if they don't come home. Preparation is continually being made for their food and comfort. Spiritual thoughts that arise from true spiritual mindedness are like the children of a house, always expected and certainly inquired for if missing. What are your thoughts like? What do you entertain in your mind when you don't have to think about anything else? Where does your mind go to? It is possible to think occasionally about spiritual things sometimes. But do you do it religiously? What lasting change might you start this year? So finally, this may seem all fairly high level and cerebral, not much real action. I mean, what's the goal of having a renewed mind? Is it so we can sound smart to others, offer intelligent advice to people around us, and appear wiser than what we really are? Being knowledgeable is not the goal of a renewed mind. I don't care how many Wikipedia pages you have entered and the live changes are still up there. We are warned in 1 Corinthians 8 that knowledge puffs up while love builds up. And then later Paul says, if I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, but do not have love, I am nothing. People can study the Word of God and get perfect scores in theological exams without that knowledge ever getting to their heart. No one is transformed apart from heart change. But God has designed us in such a way that the avenue to the heart is through the mind. Knowledge is essential, but not sufficient. Even the demons believe there is one God. Our renewed mind should lead us to action. We are to love. We are to act. We are to give of ourselves, to follow not just the ideas of Jesus, but to actually copy him in our actions towards other people. Let us use our minds to think about loving others. How hard do you think about loving your fellow Christians or about loving those who do not know Jesus? We should use our minds to learn about others, to find out about their lives and their beliefs, their fears, their struggles, their burdens, so that we can speak into their life and to tell them the good news. Let us continually study God's word for ourselves, so we can work out how we can connect what God is saying to the everyday and to the people around us because we love them. At the end of the day, it's not that we are smarter than the rest. We are not morally superior to those who do not know Christ. Our minds are made new by God. Let us not just try and change something in our life for the first 2 weeks of this year and then give up, like those New Year's resolution gym rats. Let us exercise our minds so we can put into practice God's word in our life to those around us, doing it all in love. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, please transform our minds so that we can know how to speak the good news of your Son to those around us. Help us to think about how we can practically love our friends and family. Please give us wisdom in our daily habitual choices that we make all the time. Amen.